Hello, you're listening to Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church. This is Pastor Dennis Smith, and I'm so glad you joined us for our second service together on Passages for Life. We're going to begin a study today in the Epistle of 1 Peter, and then we will go from 1 Peter into 2 Peter, however many weeks it takes us to get through that. So these are two epistles that the Apostle Peter wrote. Reminds me of the story of the Sunday school teacher who asked the children, "Does anyone know what an epistle is?" And one little boy raised his hand and said, "They are the wives of the apostles." Well, actually, epistles are letters. And these were two letters that Peter wrote to the church as they were dispersed through the Roman Empire. So you can turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, as that's where we will begin today. I'd also like to invite you to gather some emblems, crackers and juice, bread and water, something that you can use to symbolize the Lord's Supper. Now I know sometimes people think the Lord's Supper should only be done in community with others, but I believe that we're doing it in community with Christ because we do commune to remember Him. So I believe it's very appropriate that even individually that we can partake of these emblems, just like looking at a picture of what Jesus had done for us in His sacrifice. Well, we're going to begin our service now with a word of prayer. So if you would join your hearts as we go before the Lord. Father, we come to You thanking You again for the opportunity to reach out. I pray, Lord, that You would use this service to speak into someone's life, draw them to worship You. For You desire worshipers in spirit and in truth. You even told the woman at the well that it's not going to be on the mountain nor in the temple, but true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth. So I pray that those who gather today and listen, that they too would worship in spirit and truth, and that You would be glorified in this service. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
My God, when I
Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled with His blood. Grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief and all kinds of troubles. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to you searched intently and with the greatest care, trying to find out the time and circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing, when He predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that have now been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, even angels long to look into these things.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high the mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned to heaven and spoke your name into the night. Then through the darkness your loving kindness tore through the shadows of my soul. The work is finished, the end is written. Jesus Christ, my living hope.
To wear my sin.
and out of the silence, the roaring lion declared the grave has no claim on me. Then came the morning that sealed the promise.
Well, as we begin our study in the first epistle of Peter, we got to get a background on Peter. He opens up and says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. This is Peter who had followed Jesus from the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. And Peter, we know some things about him. We know that he had a brother named Andrew, who was also a follower of Jesus. He had a father whose name was Jonas or Jonah or John, some derivative of that, because when Peter made the bold confession of faith that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, Simon, son of Jonah. You know, he was called Simon up to that time. And Peter said, because of your confession, because of your faith, you are now Peter, which means rock. So anyhow, at that time of that confession, we find that his father's name was Jonas, Jonah, John, something of that derivative. So we know that about him. We know that he was born in Bethsaida, which was a fishing village, and we know that his trade was a fisherman. We also know that he was married, because we read in the scriptures where his mother-in-law was sick and Jesus went to heal her. So those are a lot of things that we know about Peter. He identifies himself simply as an apostle of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say, I am the apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm the greatest apostle of Jesus Christ. He doesn't say any of those things. And one thing we know about Peter over all the other disciples, he was mentioned more in the Gospels than any other. But he just simply identifies him, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, the apostle Paul, on the other hand, sometimes he would identify himself as an apostle born out of due time. Not one who's worthy to be called an apostle, for I persecuted the church of God, he would say. He referred to himself as the chief of sinners. So he had a little more commentary about identifying himself, but Peter simply says, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now, he's writing this at a very difficult time for the believers in Rome. This was around 64 AD, and this was the time of the dispersion of the believers. These were the Jews who had converted to Christianity, and they were dispersed because Nero was torturing them. Nero was blaming them for Rome being burned, and Nero, some believe, actually may have started the fire himself, but just wanted something to use to pin it on the Christians. Whether or not that was the case, he did persecute severely the Christians and blamed the believers for the burning of Rome, so much so that he would tar Christians and light them and have them be a human torch for the evening throughout the city. It was a terrible time for believers, and they were dispersed. You know, they didn't have their homes any longer. They didn't have their jobs any longer. They had to go into hiding. They were either in hiding or they were on the run. And he's writing to them. And the way that he communicates in this letter is to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are all places in modern-day Turkey. And then he says, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit. Now, there's a couple phrases here, a couple words that sometimes trouble folks. First of all, he refers to God's elect. And then he refers who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, some people will then be afraid, well, maybe I'm not a part of the elect. What if I want to be saved and God won't let me be saved because he didn't choose me? Well, that is not the case. To God's elect, that is those who will surrender to him. You know, if you're concerned about that, then just get saved. Because when you confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you surrender to him, and you follow what he says to do in surrendering to him, you're saved, and you can count on that. Now, what God does know, he knows the end of our lives. He knows who will choose to follow him. He knows who is going to be saved, but he puts it out there for us. We are able to be the elect. We are able to be his church. He knows what decision we are going to make. He knows what trials we go through. He knows what we have to endure. So Peter writes, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Now, it seems like that would be a very difficult thing for them with all the things that they were going through. I mean, not only did they lose their homes and lose their jobs, I'm sure that they had loved ones who were killed, and some of them who were killed so brutally and tortured and couldn't get away. And there was just so much that was going on in them where they were totally broken. And yet he says, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Now, I work in hospice, and what I have noticed in the past 15 years, actually 16 years in this work that I've done, is I see people who are in dire circumstances. They are sick, but I see people who have great faith, even in the midst of the dire circumstances, whether it be cancer, whether it be some other disease that is going to be a terminal disease for them. I see mostly people of faith. Now, there are those who don't, and they struggle with their grief. And, you know, we can struggle with grief. The Apostle Paul said, we grieve, but not as those who have no hope. So people can go through dire circumstances, but the ones who deal with it in the best way are the ones who hang on to the hope and the comfort that they find through their faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul refers to the living hope that we have in Christ. That's actually why I chose the song before this, because it talks about the living hope. And with the backdrop of what they were dealing with, we might get more of a context of what living hope means. No matter what we are going through, we can find hope. I mean, if these people were being persecuted in the way that they were, and losing their loved ones and running for their lives and having to hide out because of their faith, when probably if they had just renounced their faith, they would have been left alone. But they wouldn't, because they had experienced Jesus and they trusted in that new birth, that living hope through the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And he goes on and talks about that there is an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. You know, they may go through the problems here, but he says God's power, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this you greatly rejoice. Well, I would have a hard time rejoicing. Wouldn't you? I mean, when we hear of all that they are going through, would it be hard for us to rejoice? Three things I want to mention to you. Suffering was their experience. These believers who were going through all these trials, suffering was their experience. How were they able to endure it? I wonder if some of them struggled with this experience to the point of questioning faith. I remember talking to a little elderly African-American lady who had lost her husband in a car wreck and had 6 months later lost her son, who was getting ready to go to college on a football scholarship. He also was killed in a car wreck. She had younger daughters that she had to raise by herself. No man in the house any longer. And I remember asking this 90-year-old lady, did she ever struggle with her faith as she was going through it? And she said, oh no, honey, God's the only one who got me through it. She was suffering in her experience when she went through it, but she was surrendered in faith. That's the second thing, and that's what I see in these Christians who were dispersed. They were surrendered in their faith. Now, Peter says something that people struggle with a lot of times. Actually, he said several things in these verses that people can get tripped on. In verse 7, He says these trials, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Well, some may look at that and say, well, then, is God causing these things to happen? I hear people ask me that question. You know, they'll say, am I sick because I have sinned? Well, Jesus touched on that in John chapter 9 when there was the man who was born blind from birth. And they asked, who has sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither has sinned. But the works of God are being made manifest in him. You see, I don't think God is causing the tragedies that happen in our life. But will he use them in a way to bring about glory? Absolutely. Romans 8:28 says, for we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, those who are called according to his purpose. Now, it doesn't say that all things are good. It says all things work together for good. So these early Christians, they probably struggled with the same kind of feelings and questions that we might. But their suffering seems to me to be so much more intensified. We don't have people standing at our door to attack us. I mean, it could happen. You know, there are things that are happening against our faith, and we're being put in difficult situations because our faith, you know, you can be sued for taking a stand on your faith, and those things do happen, but nothing to the point of what we see that they had to go through. So we see that they were suffering was their experience. They were surrendered in their faith. And they could be surrendered in their faith because salvation was their focus. In verse 8, Peter says, though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, salvation of your souls. So Peter is saying that that's the end result. And folks, it really is. We all know that every one of us, we're going to die. We are not going to be on this earth forever. None of us will get out of this world alive. I suppose, unless Jesus comes back and calls us to meet him in the air. But even then, we're changed. So none of us is going to remain here on this earth in our human condition. There will come a time that we will die. And the important thing is that we have accepted Christ and that we have the salvation of our soul. You know, I've heard it said that we are not physical beings having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a physical experience. And that's true because eternal life exists for everyone. For those who know Jesus as Savior, it will be heaven. But the Bible also talks about there will be a separation from God, hell. And we don't like to talk about that. You know, there's a lot of verses that talk about heaven, and we like talking about heaven. There's a lot of things that we don't want to talk about in church. But hell is something that we read of in the scriptures, and I, for one, want my salvation tied to Jesus Christ. He is the living hope. He is the one that we can trust in. So I want to invite you, if you have not received Christ as your Savior, that you would put your trust in Him. The Bible tells us to confess Him before men, to repent of our sins. And then the next step it tells us is to be baptized. And this is to be immersed in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. And we're promised to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, having His comfort with us. So, my friends, I want to encourage you to surrender your life to Jesus. And if there's anything I can do to help you in making that decision, even to the point of helping to baptize you, or if you're in an area where you're remote from where I live in Nashville, then I will help to arrange for someone else to be able to administer baptism. My friend, I just encourage you to accept Christ as your Savior, because truly, He is our living hope. And every week as we come together, I want us to remember Him and the sacrifice that He made as we pick up those emblems to remember the body that was broken for us and the blood that was shed. I'm going to have a prayer, then there will be a song, and during that time, meditate on the words of the song and partake of the Lord's Supper at any time that you feel compelled to do so. Let's pray. We thank You, Lord, for the living hope that You are to us. As we look at these early believers and we see the suffering that many of them went through, I don't think we can identify. We go through trials and we go through struggles and we go through losses. But everything combined that was on them, it was just such a heavy time, but they still remembered their faith and stood firm for You. As we come to this time, Lord, where we search our hearts, as we pick up the bread and pick up the cup, may we be reminded that it was the body of Christ that was nailed to the cross and His blood shed for us for the remission of our sins. And we do this for that purpose. We honor You, Lord. We thank You and give You praise now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, You were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what if I
Thanks for joining us on Passages for Life, the ministry of Passages Church. Be sure and share this with your friends on Facebook or email, folks, and let's just get the word and worship out to everyone. That's what this ministry is about, to reach into the church, to provide support, to reach out to those who don't know Christ, and certainly most of all, to lift up Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I appreciate you listening. If you'd like to find out more about the church, go to passagesforyou.com. That's passages number four, letter U.com. God bless you, and I hope you will tune in next week as we worship together, Passages for Life.